got our physical life from the first Adam, we get our spiritual life from the second Adam.
Dr. Tony Evans says all the physical life offers is eternal death.
But people who are related to the second Adam not only have the life of the first Adam physically, but have the life of the second Adam eternally, which is a better life.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. The Bible is full of images where the description of one thing helps us understand something else. Today, Dr. Evans will help us make some of those visual connections and understand why they're so important. Let's join him.
Today, I want to carry that a little bit further in discussing Christ in typology. Now, when I use that phrase, typology, I mean a picture. A type is a picture. It is an Old Testament picture designed to paint a New Testament truth. The New Testament is the antitype, that is, the thing that was being pictured coming to reality. That's the doctrine of typology, an Old Testament picture that has been realized in a New Testament way that brings it to clearer light. The New Testament is the clarification of the Old Testament. The Old Testament looked forward to the New Testament. The Old Testament painted pictures in anticipation of what God was going to do when his full revelation was demonstrated in the New Testament. If you have the Old Testament without a New Testament, then what you do not have is a full picture. In the area of typology, we are dealing with the foreshadowing. Colossians 2 calls it, Colossians 2 verse 17, calls the Old Testament a foreshadowing of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now tell me, would you rather hug a shadow or a person? Well, some of you might settle for a shadow at this point, but you get my drift. There's nothing like the real thing. And so to embrace the Old Testament is to embrace the shadow. To embrace Jesus Christ is to embrace the substance of the shadow. It is to embrace reality. So then a type is a picture that depicts some aspect of Christ's person and work. It's an Old Testament picture designed to produce a New Testament truth. It's a mark, a form, a pattern, a model, an example, that which resembles something that is to come. There is one book that rules in this area of typology. Hebrews is a tough book, and let me tell you why it's tough. Because Hebrews assumes something. The book of Hebrews assumes you understand the Old Testament. That's why it's tough. If you do not understand the Old Testament, then it's gobbledygook. You can't follow it. It doesn't make sense because it is fundamentally a book about typology. That is, about the fulfillment of the old covenant in Christ, the author of a new covenant. And one of the fun words in the book of Hebrews is the word better. Better. B-E-T-T-E-R. Better. The point is, this foreshadowing has now led us to something better. So the greatest things you see in the Old Testament can't compete when you get something better. He says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 4, having become as much better than the angels, as he has inherited a more excellent name than they. The author of Hebrews says, Jesus is better. If you settle for the glory of angels, you settle for second best. Jesus is better. Look at chapter 7, verse 22. He says, and so much also, Jesus has become the guarantee of a better covenant. The old covenant in the Old Testament was a very cumbersome way to live. You had to do this one day, get cleaned up another day, do this another day. It was a very complicated system of ritual. Very important. He says, Jesus is better. Notice what he says in even in verse 19 of this chapter. For the law made nothing perfect. And on the other hand, there is bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God, a better hope, something more confident we can look forward to. Notice what he says in chapter 9, verse 23. Therefore, it was necessary for the copies of the things in the heavens to be cleansed with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. The sacrifice of Jesus is better. If you and I were in the Old Testament, we'd have to find a lamb, a goat. We'd have to find some animal to slay it. In fact, the good news of missionaries, when they go around the world and they find backwards people who are still worshiping animals and slaying them in order to get rid of the guilt of sin, the good news they come with is we have something better. That you don't have to go through this ritual anymore. That there is a better sacrifice. So typology deals with something better. It means that what we have in Christ is better than what was portrayed in the type. The antitype, New Testament fulfillment, is better than the type, the painting, the picture that was painted in the Old Testament. Let's look at some of them and I'll try to apply them as we go along. Let's look first of all at typological persons. Individuals who are types of Christ. Let's start with the first one, Adam. Look at Romans chapter 5, verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those who had not sinned in the likeness of the offense of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. Now, with that in mind, let me read to you 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45. So also it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam became a life-giving soul. A comparison is made between the two Adams. What is the relationship between the first Adam to what Paul calls the last Adam? Well, the first Adam was the federal head of the human race. That is, he was our representative. So in Adam, all die. In Adam, all live, too, because of Adam, we're here today. He was the father of the human race. Because of Adam, all live. But when he sinned, because of Adam, all die. That was the first Adam. But the second Adam, or the last Adam, Jesus Christ, is the federal head of a new race. That's why 1 Peter 2 calls the church a new race of people, a chosen priesthood. Why? Because whereas we got our first life, physical life, from the first Adam, we get our spiritual life from the second Adam. So the first Adam is a type of the second Adam because both Adams give life. But the second Adam is better than the first Adam. He gave us life, then took it away. So that the wages of sin is still death. But the second Adam is a life giver, according to Corinthians 15, 45. He gives us life, and guess what? And they shall never perish. People who only are related to the first Adam will only see physical life. Their future is eternal death. But people who are related to the second Adam not only have the life of the first Adam physically, but have the life of the second Adam eternally, which is a better life. There's another likeness between the two, and that is Adam had a wife. Her name was Eve. Jesus has a wife. Her name is Church. We are called the bride of Christ. And we're getting ready for a reception. It is called the wedding supper of the Lamb. That's a wedding reception. It is when they come together after our marriage at the rapture, when the bridegroom meets the bride in the air to consummate this relationship that we've entered into. We enter into a wedding feast. And so Jesus is like Adam, but the type is not as good as the antitype. A second person that Jesus is the antitype of, that is a type of Christ, is Aaron and his priesthood. Hebrews 5. For every high priest taken from among men is appointed on behalf of men and things pertaining to God in order to offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin. Verse 4 says, and no one takes the honor to himself but receives it when he is called by God, even as Aaron was. So also Christ did not glorify himself so as to become a high priest, but he who said to him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee, just as he said also in another passage, thou art a priest together according to the order of Melchizedek. Now we got two priesthoods. Let me talk about one is Aaron and the other one is Melchizedek. If you recall that when he gets in talking about Melchizedek at the end of chapter 5, he's got to stop talking about him because he says, I'm in deep water and you're not ready for this yet. Aaronian priesthood was a priesthood of Levites. They were the Levites whose job it is was to be the mediator between sinful men and a holy God. Sinful men could not come into the presence of a holy God. They needed a mediator. The priest acted as a mediator by offering a sacrifice, particularly once a year on the Day of Atonement, whereby the sins of the people would be addressed for 1 year. They'd have to repeat this every year. However, Jesus Christ comes as a better mediator. Now, why is Jesus better than the Aaron and his priesthood? Because Aaron had to offer for his own sin, the priest had to offer for his own sin before he could offer for the sins of the people. Because he couldn't offer for the sins of the people if he had sins himself. But the Bible says that Jesus, our high priest, was without sin. That he didn't have to offer for himself so he could totally focus on us. Aaron had to offer once a year and it was only good for a year. But guess what? Your sins can never come up again. Because God, through the better priesthood, has so comprehensively dealt with the issue of sin that they can never be brought up again in terms of your eternal relationship with God. And so Aaron was a type.
Dr. Evans will tell us about another biblical metaphor for the Messiah when he comes back in a moment to continue this message from his series, The Uniqueness of Christ. This 10-part collection explores the reasons why only Jesus could be who he was and do what he did. It'll deepen and renew your confidence in your faith. We'll be glad to send you this classic series as our gift in appreciation for your contribution of any amount, large or small. The only way we're able to keep Tony's teaching on this station is through the faithful support of listeners just like you. Please don't assume that somebody else is going to meet that need. Get in touch today and let Tony know he can count on your help. Visit TonyEvans.org, make your donation online, and let us send you the CD series, The Authority of Christ. That's TonyEvans.org. Or call 1-800-800-3222. That's our resource request line, and it's open 24/7, so there's no need to wait. Again, dial 1-800-800-3222. Now, let's get back to our message. Here's Dr. Evans.
But we're introduced to another priest. His name is Melchizedek. Melchizedek, the mysterious one. But he is a type of Christ. Jesus fulfilled the pattern of the Aaronic priesthood. The sacrifices. He fulfilled that. He is the sacrifice. But Jesus was after the order of Melchizedek. Chapter 7 of Hebrews, verse 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham as he was returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom Abraham appropriated a tenth of all of his spoils, was first of all, by the translation of his name, King of Righteousness. The name Melchizedek means King of Righteousness. And then also King of Salem, which means, Salem means peace, King of Peace is where we get the word Shalom. Without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of days, but made like the Son of God, he abides a priest perpetually. I don't know if you see the problem. We got a problem here. Got a couple problems here. Problem number one. We got a king who's also a priest. That's our first problem. Remember, the kings were the kings and the priests were the priests. And when Uzziah, the king, tried to be like a priest, it cost him his life because the two were separate. But Jesus had this mystery man called Melchizedek, who is King of Salem, King of Peace. His name Melchizedek means King of Righteousness. So he's a righteous man who's the king of a place. But he's also a priest. So the two offices of king and priest were brought together in this one man. Abraham, who was to be the father of the Jews, when he came to Melchizedek, he offered him a tithe. Now this is before the law. He offered him a tithe, 10% of all that he had. Why? Because to offer a tithe meant to submit to authority. When he offered a tithe, notice what happens according to Hebrews chapter 7, verse 2, or at the end of verse 1, says that he blessed him. Why did he bless him? Not just because he gave him money, but why he gave him money. He gave him the first tenth of what he had to establish that this king was his authority. And that's what giving should do. Giving establishes authority. It acknowledges God as provider of what you have and therefore authority over what you had. And let me tell you something else about this man. Verse 3 says, without father and without mother. Well, it's not that he didn't have a father and he didn't have a mother. It explains it in the next phrase. What he didn't have was the genealogy. There was no record of this guy's birth. There was no record of this guy's death. He just appeared on the scene. No record of where the guy came from. Nobody knows when he died, where he died. In other words, there's no record. But not only was there no record of his birth, there was also no record of his death. And so as far as we know, this man has no beginning. This man has no end. He is a mystery man. He is unique. What's the point? Verse 11. Now, if perfection was through the Levitical priesthood, that is Aaron, on the basis of the people received by law, what further need was there for another priest to arise according to the order of Melchizedek and not be designed according to the order of Aaron? In other words, why did we need this Melchizedek? Verse 17, for it is a witness of him, thou, referring to Christ, art a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. In other words, if Jesus Christ was simply linked to Aaron, we would have a problem. Number one, because Aaron is of the tribe of Levi, and Jesus had to come through the tribe of Judah. That's one problem. But also, the priest had to be an eternal priest. So what God does is link this type called Melchizedek to Jesus Christ, because the one thing about Melchizedek is no beginning, no father and mother, no ending, no record of his birth, no genealogy, so he is a kind of forever person. But we know that's not actually, he had to die sometime, but remember, the type is not as great as the antitype. So the type is Melchizedek, the antitype is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is greater because Jesus Christ, unlike Aaron who died, is more like Melchizedek, who, as far as we're concerned, was never born and never died, but yet lived. Jesus Christ lived before he was born. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Jesus Christ is an eternal Savior. He is an eternal priest, and therefore, he is not after the Aaronic priesthood that had a beginning and had an end. He's after the Melchizedekian priesthood that has no beginning and no end. You say, now that sounds nice, but what's that got to do with the price of tomatoes? It's got everything to do with it, and I'll tell you why. Because if you ever wind up without a priest, you're no longer covered. That's why the Bible says he forever maketh intercession for us. That is why 1 John 1 says that the blood of Jesus Christ keeps on cleansing us from all sin. If you were caught without a sacrifice, then that means that you would have to bear the brunt of your sin. If he ever took a break, if the blood of Jesus Christ ever took a break, we would be in trouble because Satan would be in there so quick to accuse us, our head, you know, we'd be spinning. Satan would be in there to accuse us, break fellowship with God, and if possible, break relationship with God. But the reason Satan can have no hold on you, and the reason you can't lose your salvation once you get it, and the reason why 100 billion years from now, something won't come up that can get you kicked out of heaven after you done just settled into your mansion and started having a good time, that something can't get you and boot you out, is because he is after the order of Melchizedek, no end. So if you were in the Old Testament, you didn't know much about Jesus, but you did know about Melchizedek, and you knew that there was one priest that didn't have a beginning or an end. And come to find out, Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of that, of course, because he is the Son of God from eternity past. And even as the God-man, he lives in eternity future, and he ever lives to do his priestly work for you. When we discuss the present work of Christ, we'll discuss how, what he is doing now for us as we live our day-to-day Christian lives. So he is unique. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Tells us how Israel made it through the wilderness. It says, verse 4, and they all drank the same spiritual drink, for they were drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them, and that rock was Christ. Have you ever been through a desert in your life? You're just dry, and you can't find anything to sustain you. God told Moses, strike the rock. Don't look like there's water in that rock. But you do what I tell you to do, and you're going to find stuff you don't expect to find. Moses hit that rock, out gushed a fire hydrant of water that kept coming and coming and coming and coming. What was the point? That wasn't just a rock. That was the spiritual provision of God through the second person of the Trinity, who was as alive in the Old Testament as he is in the New. He says, this rock was Christ. So if Christ was sufficient for them in the wilderness, he can get you through your dry land. He can get you through your desert. He can water you down.
If you're ready to come face to face with Jesus and learn more about the new life he promised you, visit TonyEvans.org and click on the link at the top that says Jesus. Tony has some things to share with you about what it means to become a real Christian and how you can become one today. There are also some free resources to help you follow up on your decision, so take a moment and stop by today. Also, if you'd like to review today's lesson on your own or share it with someone else, it can be yours along with the other full-length messages in Tony's current series, The Uniqueness of Christ. As I mentioned earlier, the complete 10-lesson set is yours with our thanks when you make a donation, any donation, to help us keep Tony's teaching on this station. And if you contact us right away, it comes with a special bonus, the complete Leader's Kit for Tony's Bible study series, like no other. It's packed with everything you need to take your Bible study or small group through 8 powerful sessions, exploring what sets Jesus apart from every man who's ever lived and makes him the centerpiece of our faith. Be sure to take advantage of this special double offer before time runs out. Visit TonyEvans.org today to get the details and make the arrangements. Or give us a phone call at 1-800-800-3222, where members of our resource team are on hand day and night to help you. Again, 1-800-800-3222. It wasn't just what Jesus brought with him when he came to earth that made him unique. It was also what he left behind. Tomorrow, Dr. Evans will talk about what the Lord gave up to be human and why his hurts and humiliations not only helped him understand us, but save us. Don't miss it. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.